Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It is really great to have you with us at the beginning of this new week. And I want to remind you that here, because God is, we seek to know Him as we meet Him in His Word to us. This is the Bible. Specifically, we have asked this question: how are Christians saved from our sin? Our sin has so enslaved us that if ever we are going to be set free from it, we require a deliverer, a rescuer, a savior. And this is who Jesus Christ is. Who sets us free from the addictive power of sin? Only Jesus does, because only Jesus can. Having experienced His forgiveness for all that we have said, done, and even thought about that offends holy God, we are very interested, curious, to know how does God do this saving ministry in our lives? So as the people of God, we have come together to talk about this. The name of this doctrine, or teaching if you prefer, is soteriology. And in Romans 8, verses 28 through 30, we have an outstanding text that sets before us the answer to our question. And so we have talked about the saving act of God that begins in eternity past. Long before the very foundation of this world was set in place by Creator God, He already foreknew and predestined all people who will ever be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. On this broadcast and podcast, we have talked about the foreknowledge of God. That is because Romans 8, verse 29 begins, "For these whom He foreknew." The He there is God, and so the Apostle Paul says the first move God makes is to foreknow those whom He will save. And then we have taken up a second key word in Romans 8, 29, and that is the word predestined or predestination. That is because this verse continues, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined." And we define this word by looking at the Greek word prarizo. This word means to put limits or boundaries on beforehand. To determine beforehand. To predetermine. To appoint beforehand. To preappoint. So in the Greek language, what we see is that God marks out the boundaries or the limits for us, and He does so before we are even born. He predetermines, He preappoints us to our destination beforehand. This fits with our definition from the English language that we identified borrowing from our scholar friend R.C. Sproul. He says, "What predestination means in its most elementary form is that our final destination, heaven or hell, is decided by God not only before we get there, but before we were even born. It teaches that our ultimate destiny is in the hands of God." Again, by way of review, all of that led us into a discussion on the will. And why the will? Well, because if God has predetermined where each person will spend eternity before each person is even born, then what role does human free will have? Isn't it our choice, our decision, whether we go to heaven or hell when we die? Has God robbed us of our choice? Do we have no free will after all? Even worse, are we just pre-programmed robots who carry out God's will no matter what? You see, it is not possible to talk about predestination without also talking about human free will. The two go together. Now, I led us to do something that, frankly, I rarely hear Bible teachers do, pastors, etc., and that is to start the conversation on free will by looking first to God. God has a will. God has a free will. And God's will is more free than our will. As we will continue to learn, God's sovereign will remains supreme, high and above the human free will. And last week we borrowed from the Westminster Shorter Catechism to unpack a key doctrinal statement concerning the nature of God's free will. Leading us to this day and the beginning of second, our conversation on the free will of men and women, including, of course, children. Because, boy, oh boy, do children have free wills. Strong-willed children. Maybe you have one of those, or two, or more. Am I right? We looked at predestination and the will of God first. Now we come to predestination and the will of men and women second. We are working from above to below. We begin with God and then only come down to people. First, we establish God's free will, and then second, we establish our free will. What we mean by human free will is best understood in the context of God's free will. Are you with me? If you remember, we left off last week talking about God's sovereignty, or God's sovereign free will. Well, that leads us to a very important and practical question. How is God's sovereignty related to human free will? Again, how is God's sovereignty related to human free will? Or perhaps I can put it this way. What does predestination do to our free will? What does predestination do to our free will? I suppose we have a few options here. One will be to answer these questions without really answering them by saying something like, well, this is not something we can resolve in this life, so let's just agree that predestination is real because the Bible says it is. Let's just accept it and move on. Or, well, what a paradox, huh? On the one hand, God has predestined us, but on the other hand, we still make our choices. And then, of course, there is this line I have heard countless times from Christians. Predestination and human free will. When I get to heaven, I can't wait to ask God that question. As if in heaven we will be raising our hands to ask God questions. We will not. We will be too busy worshiping God for questions and answers from this fallen and imperfect and sinful world, because then we will live in perfection and our focus. We will be consumed with God. Really, in my opinion, the point of these statements is to skirt the issue. We avoid talking about the tension between God's sovereign will and human free will. And in my experience, most Christians do not even know what to say about this topic. They do not know how to answer the question or how to engage the tension, and so they immediately look for a way out. A kind of ignore it and it will go away evasive tactic. I want to propose a better and definitely more satisfying way forward. Let's take some time together, and this will require time. But let's you and I lend our time and attention to what the Bible does say about the compatibility of God's sovereign free will and our human free will. Because they do go together. There is not a contradiction in the Bible between the two. The Bible speaks repeatedly and directly to God's will, as we have seen, and to people's will, as we will see. Both are real. God has a free will, and we have a free will. The question is, how do the two work together in predestination? Listen again to R.C. Sproul and how he puts it in his readable book, Chosen by God. Quoting him now, If human freedom and divine sovereignty are real contradictions, then one of them at least has to go. If sovereignty excludes freedom, and freedom excludes sovereignty, then either God is not sovereign or man is not free. Happily, there is an alternative. We can keep both sovereignty and freedom if we can show that they are not contradictory. I'm going to pause reading Dr. Sproul there. I like that. Obviously, or I would not be quoting it. But here on God Is, we are not going to avoid this tension between God's sovereignty and our will by just hoping that if we ignore it, the tension will dissipate. Picking up Sproul's book again, I read this. At a human level, we readily see that people can enjoy a real measure of freedom in a land ruled by a sovereign monarch. It is not freedom that is canceled out by sovereignty. It is autonomy that cannot coexist with sovereignty. The word autonomy means self-law. To be autonomous means to be a law unto oneself. An autonomous creature would be answerable to no one. If God is sovereign, man cannot possibly be autonomous. If man is autonomous, God cannot possibly be sovereign. These would be contradictions. Then, Sproul adds this, listen, one does not have to be autonomous to be free. Autonomy implies absolute freedom. We are free, but there are limits to our freedom. The ultimate limit is the sovereignty of God. End quote. Well, we will come back to this again tomorrow. And I hope that you've been journeying along with us and will continue to do so through this very important discussion between predestination and human free will. We continue it tomorrow because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.